You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hanat Baba. Photographer Brittany Sensabaugh came up in East Oakland surrounded by fast food restaurants, liquor stores, and check cashing places. Other parts of Oakland looked different. Inequity was something she could see. When she graduated high school, her older brother gave her a camera, but it wasn't until years later that a chance encounter led her to start taking pictures of familiar faces and places. Now she's the creator of the project 222 Forgotten Cities, a series of photographs focused on capturing the beauty and struggle of marginalized communities of color across the U.S. KALW's Jen Sheehan spoke with Brittany Sensabaugh about the project.
Tell me about your project, 222 Forgotten Cities.
Okay, so I was doing fashion photography. I moved to New York when I was 20. I'm now 26. So I was living there for 6 years.
And you grew up in East Oakland, right?
So I'm from East Oakland. So I was there and I was doing fashion photography. And I found it to start lacking substance. You know, even when I started doing it in Oakland, I was doing it for the love of the expression and the storytelling and not necessarily the garment. But, you know, just because New York is the fashion capital, a lot of the times it was more on the trends and like the price tag. And I didn't care for that at all. That wasn't the reason why I was doing it. So it started to lack substance to me. So around the same time, I was on a subway train. And I was wearing my Oakland hoodie. And this was around the time, too, that the crime rate had came out. So I think Oakland was number one or two. Chicago was under Oakland. But Oakland was on there. And it was, like, part of top five. And there was a Caucasian lady sitting across from me. And she pointed to my hoodie. And, you know, she was like, don't ever go to that place if you've never been. Like, if you've never been in that place, don't ever go. Because there's nothing but thugs and gangbangers and drug dealers there. And, you know, I was just like, wow. So I let her go on, you know, because she was entitled to, you know, her perspective, I guess. But she was entitled to her perspective. So I let her go on. And, you know, when I was getting off the train, I stopped her and I said, you know, I'm from Oakland. And not only am I from Oakland, I am from East Oakland. And I am none of those things that you are, you know, that you said about Oakland. And not only am I none of those things, I know a lot of people that are none of those things as well. And on top of that, a lot of the people that are classified as those things, there is a reason why those things are happening. So in that moment, I thought to myself, I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I am going to plant seeds to change the perception. And maybe not even change the perception, because a lot of the times, like, you cannot change, you know, everyone's perception, but to present a new perception and to present evidence of things that the mainstream media isn't showing. From that conversation, like 3 months later, I went and I started documenting Oakland, which is my first series.
So you were then home?
So I was when I had that conversation, I was in New York. Mm-hmm. And then I went back to Oakland 3 months later. And I remember like waking up one day while I was at home.
And the incident was still bothering
you. It was still, yeah. And, you know, I hadn't, it kind of like, because 3 months had went by. So I always thought about it in my subconscious. But like consciously, I was laying down. I saw my brother's camera, the camera that he had given to me. I said to myself, I need to get up right now and I need to go shoot. And I didn't know what, but I literally got up. I took my camera and I started to shoot. I started just walking down the street and just capturing moments.
And so what did having the camera with you, what difference did that make for you and how you saw things?
So having the camera was a way for me to freeze the moment that I was seeing to show, you know, other people that this is what we are living in and this is the why. Because I consider my documentations the why that the media is leaving out. So they say like there is, you know, they'll put out the crime rate, oh, there's killings and there's drugs inside of, you know, certain areas. But why are these things happening? We are not, we don't have the access to get the drugs. Where are the drugs coming from? And what is the psychological state that the people that are living in these conditions, why do they want to kill? Why are they so angry? It is a root. And my photography shows the root of it. It is the root of why these things are happening. But it's also showing that it's not just negative things happening. There's so much. For every two negative things, there are three positive things happening in these areas. And I have proof. I shoot it every day.
Your work has drawn some comparison to Gordon Parks, the great photographer mm-hmm. and photojournalist for Life magazine. How do you feel about that? Was he an inspiration to you?
You know what? He was an inspiration. He still is an inspiration. I wouldn't say was. He still is. You know, because what he did is, you know, in many ways, when people compare us, he was documenting the times. He was also planting seeds. He planted a seed for me. Because I look back at a lot of his documentations and I see a lot hasn't changed. Number one, it shows me that. It also shows me he was very transparent. He was there. You know, you can tell that he was in these households that he documented. He wasn't just there for a day. He was really spending like time with these people, with the people that he was documenting. And I do the same. You know, I spend up to a week to a month. It's not just I go in and I go out. Because it's home. Anywhere where I document, it's home. Whether it's Oakland, it's Chicago, Baltimore, Philly, Houston, Chicago, it's all home. Yeah, it's his photography reminded me also to be unapologetic, like to not apologize for what I have to document. You know, my people feel like they have to apologize for who they are. And it's because society makes them feel like they have to apologize for who they are and for them questioning the system that we are in, you know. And I feel like with his photography, like, it left room for no questions because it was what it was, but it then in the same breath, like, made you question, like, what was going, like, what's happening, you know? It brought
like what you were saying earlier, the questioning the root causes. Yeah, well, why are these people in this situation?
Exactly.
One of the things that I think is so great about your work is how you can show the beauty and also the struggle simultaneously. So you are both celebrating, but also not celebrating the beauty, but not looking away from the hard realities.
Yeah, because, you know, that is what makes us beautiful, because we are in such destructive conditions daily and we survive. Barely, though, mentally, it's a struggle. And it's beyond the physical, though. Physically, we are struggling. Our conditions, like as far as our communities, our house being destroyed, like, but mentally, it's a mental struggle. The main thing is I want them to, you know, I want my people, when they look at my documentations, to gain back the strength and the power that each day is removed from them by being in this society and matrix system. You know, like the power to wake up and look at an image that shows you your beauty and your worth, bringing back that worth that we are lacking.